Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome again to the Steve Jones Show. As we get ready for, as Steve said a few moments ago, National Letter Intent Day, things looking pretty good for the Nittany Lions. We've done a lot of recruiting shows over the last couple of days, and if you missed, and last couple of weeks as well, if you missed any of them, head to stevejonesshow.com, click on podcast, and you'll be able to find out more about the recruiting side of things. Of course, Steve can't always talk about players by name, but that's why we have other people on the program that can give you a little bit more insight in recruiting. The Eagles not making a decision on Sam Bradford yet. Howie Roseman had to check with a nearby Eagles spokesman when he wanted to know Tuesday's date and then said, well, we really don't have anything to worry about yet with him, so we'll make a decision as things go. It's only January. We'll find out where they decide to go here with the new coaching staff. And, you know, Sam Bradford didn't play badly this year. I mean, looked like he had control of the offense. And I think the most important thing, as we heard from Merrill Reese several times, you know, he looked good injury knee-wise. You know, there no injuries really to the knees, no issues there. Didn't look like he had trouble throwing the ball there. And that was the big question with him. Is he going to be able to throw the football and stay healthy at the same time? So Eagles VP a little bit non-committal on Sam Bradford's future. Don't know if they're going to be in a position draft-wise to look for a quarterback in the first round. Well, the question is, do you really want to look for a quarterback in the first round? We talked a little bit about that yesterday on the second hour of the Steve Jones Show. You know, if you're not in need of a quarterback, do you have to take a skill position in the first round? A lot of fans believe you do have to take a skill position in the first round. So if you'd like to hear more about that, again, that's on yesterday's podcast in second hour.
I want to start out with two Kevin Hurd topics again.
Love these topics.
Okay. Topic number one.
Okay.
The Carolina Panthers have selected their black jerseys and silver pants for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I already knew that.
No, I'm just saying, but what are your thoughts on Carolina selecting the black jerseys with the silver pants?
Well, what were the other combinations? The only other combination I could think of is the all baby blue that they used on that one Thursday night game, and I'm in no hurry to see that again. I don't know what other combination they have.
They wear teal, Kevin.
Teal. Sorry. Teal, not baby blue. Thinking of the Titans with baby blue, but it's teal. However, in black, they haven't lost a game this year wearing the black jerseys. That's the big problem.
They hadn't lost a game this year wearing teal either, Kevin.
That's also true. The percentages were a little bit different, though, for the black jerseys. I mean, there are more opportunities.
Yes, undefeated versus undefeated.
more percentage for loss, or more opportunity for loss.
1,000 on each.
That's teal? Don't now, do they have a teal helmet? Wait a minute. Don't they have a teal helmet?
No.
They have a silver helmet. I know that.
Helmet every time. Right. They've never changed helmets.
Okay. I thought there was a teal helmet in the mix somewhere.
Now that we have that particular nonsense out of the way.
Feel better?
Now we get to topic number two that is right in your wheelhouse.
Okay.
Dead fish in the Olympic pool.
In the pool? I haven't heard it about in the pool. I mean, I've heard about it in the lake. I mean, they're not doing the swimming events in the lake, are they?
Kevin, this is a disaster. It was the number one trending topic on Twitter this morning about the disaster of the water in Rio. Again, these things are done 9 years out. 9 years. And because they're done 9 years out, they make all sorts of grandiose promises as to what they can deliver. And supposedly the big promise in all of this 9 years ago was that it was going to be great for the nation of Brazil to get the Olympic Games, and it would make the quality of life better because one of the things they would do would be to clean up the water. Well, here we are now, 190 days away, while the country on August 5th will be riveted on baseball pennant races, the Steelers in training camp, and Penn State football in training camp locally. That this game, these games will take place, and the athletes are going to be in less than ideal conditions. Again, these things are done 9 years out. Brazil's economy has gone into the tank. Just to the north of them, Venezuela's economy, because the price of oil has now dipped below $30 a barrel, their economy has gone in the tank. Brazil's struggling mightily economically right now. They can't afford to do this. And again, it is a country that has mortgaged its soul to stage a 2.5-week track meet. FIFA and the IOC each have one major component in common. They are both alleged to be steeped in fraud. And it is alleged that each of them has, let's face it, neither one of them has a great reputation, the IOC and FIFA. Now, for FIFA, it's one thing to sit there and look at what they want to do with the World Cup, okay. But with the Olympics, I maintain, and I strongly maintain, build one winter facility. Build one summer facility and maintain it. All right? Stop ripping people off. You, of course, mightily disagree.
But that they should have one location?
Yes, you want to see it around the world.
Yeah, I do want to see it around the world. And I think you can do, I honestly believe you can do this without going crazy. And I think the problem is you have countries that are, now hear me out. I think they're more concerned about showing off than making sure everything's right.
Kevin, this isn't going to work. It's not going to work. I agree with you about the showing off part. I got that. Okay, we're going to show off. Okay. But Boston was right. We're going to shut down the city for weeks. Okay? just so Usain Bolt can run around in a circle? Huh?
I don't think the taxpayers should have to pay for this. I don't understand how
then
you can...
Then who will pay for it?
How can you... Do you have to build 18 different venues? Do you really have to?
Yes, because nobody has this stuff. That's
okay.
My point.
But let me ask this question.
We're going to build a velodrome. All right. Now suddenly it's September. Now what do we do with it?
But I have a question, Steve. Why do you have to build a velodrome?
Because it's a sport. You have to have it.
They've done cycling for years in a circle, and they did it for years without a dome over it. Why does it have to be a dome now?
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes it rains.
I mean, rainouts are an issue. I'm not going to deny that. I'm just saying you can get away cheaper than building 8,000 venues that you're never going to use again. I totally agree with that. And to ask taxpayers to do that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I'm 100% behind you on that. Not a bit of argument will you hear from me on that. I don't understand how you can't have some of the, like, a lot. To say you're not going to have to build any venues is naive. There are going to be venues you'd have to build. I think there are other uses for those venues, but that's a different story. I think you can adapt the venue afterwards for a velodrome. I think there's something you can adapt to it and make it a concert hall or something. I think there's more you could do. But anyway, that's beside the point.
A concert hall?
I'm just throwing ideas out. We're brainstorming here. My question is why?
Thing, there's no such thing as a bad idea.
In Boston.
to your credit, you test it.
In Boston, correct me if I'm wrong, there are several major universities there. Or at least nearby. You mean to tell me there is not one single university that could handle Olympic swimming and diving? That they don't have a nanatorium?
Yeah, but they're not to handle what they want to do.
That's a very legitimate comment. The seating would be the major issue.
I try to do that every day.
The seating would be the major issue. But what's better, to have a half sold out nanatorium, or have a completely sold out nanatorium?
Where the ticket prices is so far over the top, people can't afford to go in.
But why does it have to be that way? That's what I'm saying.
Because you need to get your money back.
Okay, let's say, and I'm going to pull numbers out of the sky. Let's say it's $100,000 if you sell every ticket for every event, but only half of them sell.
Mm-hmm.
You're still only making half the amount of money. Why not put in half the seats and have a full stadium? Or have a full nanatorium.
Okay.
It's still still $50,000 or $50,000.
It's okay. It's all right. Okay. Get a bag. Get a bag. Breathe just a bit.
Get a bag.
Okay. All right. Why is it that a concert at a 15,000 seat arena costs more than a concert at a 22,000 seat arena? The reason is that the band has a margin they need to make each time out, in their opinion, to get there. Thus, the smaller venue, they're going to charge more to get to the margin. The bigger venue, they can charge slightly less. And that happens at concerts all over the country. What you're saying is that we'll build it smaller. Well, you're going to have to charge more. And they will charge more. Because guess what? They built the darn thing. Now they're looking around saying, we're going to pay for this thing. How do we do it? We have to make a profit here. And it's not all going to be from television.
The average price.
That's why you build one and maintain it for 50 years. So it stays state of the art every 4 years. You build one. Everybody will be looking forward to going to, I don't know, pick a spot, Milton.
Okay, let's pick
it. And we can all go to Dick's house in Milton, right? Have a little wine, cheese, a little brie.
Sounds good. Yeah. Sounds all good. Right?
And get ready to watch Usain Bolt run around the track that they just built at the brand new Milton Olympic facility.
If you pick, let's say you picked London to host the games, the summer games. Every 4 years, it's in London. How do you think NBC is going to feel about that?
I don't care.
Well, NBC's paying an awful lot of money to broadcast it on a delay.
Guess what? NBC delays it when it's in this country.
Well, that's an excellent point. They save everything for prime time. Okay. Yeah.
It's irrelevant. Wait till you get to Rio. Rio's 2 hours ahead. They'll show some live stuff, but they're still going to package everything from 8 to 11.
The best Olympics, as far as watching it live, was Vancouver. Well, besides Atlanta. I'm talking in recent memory now.
My favorite part of the Olympics is the closing ceremony. All right. I love the pageantry.
You're an Olympic hater. You're an Olympic hater. That's all it is.
No, but I don't like the corruption of it. The corruption of it has turned me off. You look at Rio. Okay, it sounds great. First time ever going to South America. Terrific. Can't wait. Okay, fine. And guess what? It's a disaster. You go to Sochi. Oh, Sochi. This. Okay. Oh, great. You know, fabulous. And the Olympic Village isn't ready. I mean, it's just not. It's the corruption of it has turned me off tremendously, and it all started for me with Beijing. Right, going in there and kowtowing and bending over backwards, and you know, and they put on this phony little show for 2.5 weeks where it makes you feel like it's all good, it's all good. Can we go to that name? No, can't go there. How about if we go? Nope, can't go there either. But it's all good. We're progressing. We're doing great. That's the point.
Smog's down 60%.
That's it. We're down. You know, that's. I looked around and said, you know what? Enough. Enough. It's just, you know, after that point, and Vancouver, I liked. But pick a spot. Put it there. Maintain it. Okay, where the IOC is maintaining it, right? The IOC is maintaining it, not some poor factory worker who works in the burbs, who's taking some of his tax money to maintain facilities that are never really going to be used to their fullest extent again. Right? Pick a spot.
You know the next.
Make a luge run, okay? Make a luge run. Make a bobsled run. Here we go. We're all done. So, okay? And that, guess what? That's where we're going to go.
You know that the next three Olympics after Rio are all in the Far East?
Yeah, I know they are. It's Korea, Tokyo, and where's the
Pyongyang.
Other? Where's 20?
2018 is Pyongyang, 2020 is Tokyo, and 22 is Beijing.
You know, it's just... That's great. Fabulous. Can't wait to watch it on tape because it ain't going to be live.
It could be live the next day. I mean, Tokyo? What wasn't it Nagano that they actually were running things live on Tuesday night, but you were watching them Monday morning?
Well, I remember doing sports updates. I was working on a morning show, and Tara Lipinski beat Michelle Kwan.
Yep.
So I came out, I did the news, then boom, to commercial, came back to the sports as Tara Lipinski's won the gold medal. I got about four or five calls saying I ruined everything for them. And I said, and so I went on the air and I said to all of you people who said I just ruined everything for you, guess what? My job is not to sit there and back up what NBC Sports is doing. That's not my job. Okay, my job is to deliver the sports news. She won the gold medal, right? Guess what? That's the lead story in sports this morning. I said, she won it. Bottom line, I said, the second I back off will be the second I receive a check from NBC asking me to back off. I don't work for them. I don't work for them. Why should we protect NBC? Explain to me why we are protecting NBC's programming, because they elect not to run it live.
It's funny.
Not my job to protect, not my job to protect NBC at all.
It's funny, Steve, because we were doing the same thing. We had CBS Sports covering the Olympics, doing two updates an hour, and got the same calls about the same situation.
Right. I mean, I'm sorry, but I mean, okay, but are you going to cloister yourself for 15 hours? Because the end of it was not going to be on until 10:30 to 11 o'clock at night. Okay, 10:30 at night is 15 hours after 7:30. You're going to somehow negotiate 15 hours without finding out? Really? There are cloistered nuns that knew.
When the snow goes in to your neighborhood, who you gonna call?
Snowbusters!
Winter has finally arrived.
Were you ready?
If not, no problem. Sunbury Motors has snowbusting vehicles to help you through the next big storm. Sunbury Motors Ford has over 50 2016 Ford Escapes in stock. Save $3,750 now. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 60 months. Check out the vehicle that redefines the compact SUV with its new design. The all-wheel drive Hyundai Tucson at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. The all-new 2016 Hyundai Tucson all-wheel drive starts at just $24,820. Sunbury Motors Kia has 49 snowbusting Kia Sorentos and Sportages, all clearly sale priced and all with 0% financing available for up to 66 months. Sunbury Motors Ford, Hyundai, and Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf. See their entire snowbusting inventory at sunburymotors.com. A tradition of trust for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin driving another great Sunbury Motors vehicle this week because it's dry and they feel safe with him behind the wheel.
And I'd feel safe behind the wheel of the 2016 Escape if it snows, because it's all-wheel drive. It'll get you through whatever you need to. As a matter of fact, drove it through a four-foot snowdrift. Front bumper pushing. It looked like one of those commercials you see on TV with the SUV pushing the snow with the front bumper.
I talked to them. They're considering bubble wrap until you bring it back.
Well, you know, it's safety first. I get it. But there's a lot of great safety features.
For the vehicle. They really weren't thinking too much about you.
Safety first. There's a lot of great safety options in the 2016 Escape. Actually, they're not options. They're standard, like the backup camera. One of the options you can get, though, with some of the model Ford Escapes is the sensors all the way around the vehicle. Now, if you're backing up and you have the backup camera on, you can't always see cars that are flying behind you in a parking lot. Well, as you're backing up, you may not be able to see it in the camera, but there's a sensor that goes off to let you know that you should probably hit the brakes now, or you're going to hit that car that's flying behind you through the parking lot. Just one of the great safety features that are available on the 2016 Escapes that are available right now with $1,750 off the sticker, plus another $2,000 in trade assistance if you're trading a 95 vehicle or newer, plus 0% financing for up to 60 months, 1.9% for 72 months. And if you're not going to go with the financing trade assistance, you can still get $1,250 factory rebate from Ford. That's on the 2016 Escape as well as the 16 Fusions, too, at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury.
There you go. Interesting, the other night, too, was at the basketball game the other night. Buster Douglas was at the game the other night.
The boxer?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know of another Buster Douglas, so I assumed as much. But
yes. Well, I mean, he's from Columbus, you know.
I did not know that.
So, in fact, he's one of the few non-students in the history of Ohio State University to dot the I. Yes.
Now, there's a fun fact.
Yeah, that's just terrific, isn't it? Yeah. But, yeah, Buster Douglas. He was at the game the other night.
Did he have the belt for one fight? I don't think he defended it successfully, did he?
I'm trying to think. He beat Tyson, but then he lost to Evander Holyfield, if I recall correctly. So he in his one title defense, he lost to Evander Holyfield. Then I think actually, and he kept boxing, and I think he only lost one more time in his career after that. He had like 8 or 9 more fights after that, and he only lost once. But eventually he retired, and I think he's diabetic. But yeah, he was at the basketball game the other night. This day in sports history, 1973, UCLA won their 61st consecutive game, which broke the NCAA record, which had been held by Bill Russell and San Francisco. 1984, Wayne Gretzky set an NHL record for consecutive game scoring. He ended the streak at 51 games the next night against the LA Kings. Streak began on October 5th, 1983. 1991, Giants beat the Bills in the Super Bowl. Scott Norwood wide right. Whitney Houston sang the Star-Spangled Banner before Super Bowl 25.
Became the standard for the Star-Spangled Banner.
Yes, even though the words have stayed the same. 2002, the Montreal Canadiens became the first NHL team to score 10,000 home goals. They did so in their 2,675th home game. That's this day in sports history.
And you are correct. Buster Douglas went on to fight several more times in the 9 years after losing the title to Evander Holyfield. His only loss was a first round. It was knocked out in the first round by Lou Savarese.
Okay. I'll believe you.
Back in June 25, 1998.
Okay. I believe you. So, drinking water, no. Yachting, no.
Well, you always want to arm the boats anyway, so.
Well, let's be honest about it. It would be more exciting. It's more American. You do have a winner and a loser.
No question.
Okay? Okay. Here's one. Here's my standard. You're at the bottom of the bay. You've lost.
Problem is, they already did that. It was World War II in the Pacific, and it didn't turn out well for one side.
No, it did not. So, I really believe that just build one and maintain it to the highest standard. And stop playing this game of country against country. I mean, Los Angeles very well may get the 2024 Olympics, and we'll send you out there for it, okay?
That's great.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great?
Well, I was looking forward to going to Rio, but you know, with the issues that Rio has, I'm not sure I want to go to Rio.
And also the lack of cash.
Also a little bit of an issue.
But we'll send you to Los Angeles, 2024. They'll get it.
Maybe they'll have it in the Coliseum again.
No, it would be... actually, that's not true. They first of all, they can't run track in the Coliseum. The track's out because they pulled it out when they changed the stadium.
Well, put it back in then.
Kind of hard to do because of the dimensions now. But I remember walking on that track when it was still in there. It was actually kind of cool. Like, Carl Lewis won the gold medal on this track, you know. Mary Decker fell on this track. All right. Yeah, that's actually kind of cool walking on the track. Now, if we had been doing the show back then, you would have been completely angry. you would have.
You're right.
You're mad now. It would be Kroenke Stadium would be where they would do. They're hoping that will be part of the centerpiece of what they do with the Olympics.
Los Angeles is up. They replaced Boston, as we've mentioned here on the show before. Rome is also up for it, as well as Paris, Budapest, and Hamburg.
Love Budapest. Boy, it'd be great to go there. In fact, if Budapest gets it, we're sending you.
No, that would be the only the second time the games were in Eastern Europe.
In fact, Roger and I have talked extensively about you going to Pyongyang.
I got to get a passport first. Sorry, I'm not ready for that. Rome would be okay.
No, you know. In fact, if there are any events in North Korea, we have talked extensively that we think it would be a good idea if you went.
No.
Excuse me, what kind of company guy are you? I'm out there doing the show in all sorts of locations because it's important to keep the show going. We finally come up with an idea to send you to North Korea to scout out their team. You won't go. What kind of team player are you?
Did you see the interview? There's no way I'm going there.
But this just reeks of corruption. I don't like it.
I think it goes to Paris next, by the way.
No, it's going to Pyongyang next and Tokyo. We already know. Okay, so
I'm predicting Paris for 2026. Because they failed a couple of times to try and get it. I would think Paris would be a favorite place for the IOC.
Terrific. Okay.
Oh, by the way, the IOC has announced, I read this during the news, the IOC did announce it would contribute $1.7 billion in cash and services to the winning organizing committee. So at least the IOC is putting some money into the games.
Yeah. How about building your own facilities and then maintaining it and then just taking care of it that way instead of going through this corrupt bidding process? Left and right. All right, now let's get to a much bigger story than dead fish in the water at in Rio, and the fact that nobody can drink any water, nobody can swim, and
we're all carrying bottled water anyway.
Yeah, what are you going to all dump it in the pool and then go for a swim? What are you going to do? All right. Former Giant safety Tyler Sash, who played against Penn State when he was at Iowa, was found to have an extraordinary high level of CTE when he died in September. He had an accidental overdose of painkillers. His family donated his brain to be studied. And the New York Times reported that representatives from Boston University and the Concussion Legacy Foundation notified the Sash family that CTE had been diagnosed in Tyler's brain, and that the disease, which can only be confirmed obviously after death, had the advanced stage rarely seen in anyone his age. Sash was only 27 years old. The CTE scale rates the severity on a 0 to 4. They say he had progressed to stage 2, about the same as Junior Seau, but Seau was 43 at the time, 16 years older. They say that Sash dealt with confusion, memory loss, and minor fits of temper that affected his ability to find meaningful employment after he was released by the New York Giants in 2013. He had, I want to say, 5 concussions in 2 years, I think. Barnetta Sash, who was his mother, said, "Now everything makes sense. The part of the brain that controls impulses, decision-making, and reasoning were damaged badly." It says here, Sash suffered multiple concussions during his 2-year career with the Giants. He played 23 games in 11 and 12. Months after the Giants' Super Bowl victory, Sash was suspended for 4 games for violating the performance-enhanced drug policy by testing positive for Adderall, trying to treat attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and the sleep disorder narcolepsy. He was released during the final roster cuts just before the start of the 13th season. The Giants reached an injury settlement with him after he suffered a concussion in a preseason game against the Patriots. Sash's brother told the New York Times that Sash also had 2 concussions in high school and 1 while playing for Iowa. you know, this is this. It's a major story. The concussion part of it. It's a major story. And it goes beyond the movie. The movie has zero impact at all. None. I know Kevin thinks it's going to have a huge impact. It's going to have zero impact. The movie generated nothing at the box office. I've told you that Jack Ham did know and does know the doctor that is profiled in the movie. And Jack said, Steve, he's a genius. He's a genius. And the... but the movie's not going to have much of an impact. I think the highest it was for any week was opening week. It was sixth.
Bad weekend to debut it when Star Wars was still out.
Well, I mean, when are you going to debut it? I mean,
actually, I think that would have made more sense if they would have done it at the beginning of the football season, somewhere in the summer months.
Well, but it has to be finished too.
Yeah, that's true. It may not have been ready at that point.
So, the ideal time probably would have been sometime in October.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. Yeah,
debut it like 2 weeks before Spectre came out. Spectre came out November 6th or 7th. There were no blockbusters out in October. Then Spectre came out in November. That was a blockbuster. Then it was followed up, obviously, by what Star Wars has done. The movie 13 Hours probably will have a greater impact on the presidential race than Concussion will in the NFL.
Movie Mike, our movie reviewer here on WKOK, gave it 3 out of 4.
Yeah, that's fine, except here's the problem. Okay, what publicity did the movie receive? Explain to me what the biggest story about the movie happened to be. What was it?
That Will Smith didn't get nominated for an Oscar?
No. The big story that came out the week the movie came out was Dave Duerson's family said he was misportrayed in the movie. So you automatically come out of the gate with a prime character, Dave Duerson, not being portrayed correctly in the movie because he's supposed to be a composite of everybody else. So instead of doing it where maybe you use false names and all this instead of using real names, where you can take a composite and make it into a character, right? They went that route, and guess what? They killed the credibility of the movie because, that's not the way he was. You're sitting there saying, well, if they made that mistake, what are the mistakes that they make? That's a problem. But the concussion thing, huge. Now, it's not just the NFL. The NFL is an easy target on all this. The bottom line is, for example, soccer, beloved by many, has more concussions than football does. Just look up the research. Research will tell you. Take a minute to actually look up the research. Soccer actually has more concussions than football. Now, I'm not here defending football, but it's also important that we have discovered, especially over the last 4 years or so, that facts are actually very important and not just opinions. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When the snow goes in to your neighborhood, who are you going to call?
Snowbusters!
Winter has finally arrived.
Were you ready?
If not, no problem. Sunbury Motors has snowbusting vehicles to help you through the next big storm. Sunbury Motors Ford has over 50 2016 Ford Escapes in stock. Save $3,750 now. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 60 months. Check out the vehicle that redefines the compact SUV with its new design. The all-wheel drive Hyundai Tucson at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. The all-new 2016 Hyundai Tucson all-wheel drive starts at just $24,820. Sunbury Motors Kia has 49 snow-busting Kia Sorentos and Sportages, all clearly sale-priced and all with 0% financing available for up to 66 months. Sunbury Motors Ford, Hyundai, and Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf. See their entire snow-busting inventory at sunburymotors.com. A tradition of trust for over 100 years.
great to have you with us.
I was going to play a Fish song, but I couldn't think of any quick enough.
Yeah, the Big Ten is going to make a big deal out of the Madison Square Garden game. BTN is going to be doing a thing, because I talked to Dave Revson on Monday night, and Dave told me, he says, Steve, this is a huge deal for us. He said, we're all going to be there. He said, we're going to do the studio shows on location Friday night, same thing Saturday morning, Saturday evening. And I think Gus Johnson's doing the basketball game. I haven't talked to Gus since a Big Ten tournament, so... But, you know, look, the Big Ten was able to pick up 16 million households by getting Rutgers and Maryland into the footprint. D.C., Baltimore, Jersey, into New York City. The Big Ten men's basketball tournament is in Indianapolis in March. Next year it's in Washington, D.C., at the Verizon Center. And then in 18, everybody has to sacrifice a little bit with the schedule, because they're going to play it at Madison Square Garden. The Big East has a contract with the Garden through 2026, so they have the last week leading up to Selection Sunday. So the Big Ten is going to do something that they have never done before, and that is play that tournament in 18 the weekend before leading up to it. So they're going to have to push the schedule back just a little bit in 17, 18 to make it happen. Yeah, they'll come up with a way of doing it. But, I mean, everybody's going to have to sacrifice on that one. It's as simple as that. And I was laughing because we're supposed to leave on the bus at noon or whatever. And they said, we're going to go over to the hub. There's going to be a pep rally. I said, I'm not getting off the bus. I'm going to be sitting there reading Golf Magazine. All right. You're rolling your eyes.
I'm going to get you a digital copy of Golf Magazine so you could look at it on your iPad.
Yeah, but that always entails having to try and do it while connecting to Wi-Fi and everything like that. So, I mean, I like it, having a nice little hard copy to sit there and look at it. You know? I mean, that's, yeah. Yeah, I used to read a lot more newspapers, used to. It's just not, you know, I read some. I mean, I read a lot of articles. Obviously, I don't think you walk in as prepared to do this show every day if you're not doing, you know, a couple of hours of really good show prep on stories and reading and so forth. It's just not with hard copy newspapers.
Reading? Is that what I'm missing out on?
Oh, boy.
Huh. You learn something new every day.
Coming up on Friday, Nikki Javala from the Denver Post on the Broncos going to the Super Bowl. How about that? They'll be on Friday's show.
Wearing the wrong colored jerseys.
Kevin, meanwhile, Dead Fish Olympic update, bottom of the hour.